here this morning. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 16, amen. Matthew chapter 16 this morning. Word of God, the King James Bible. I praise God for it. Matthew chapter 16, the Gospel of Matthew, amen. The Gospel of Matthew as we turn there. Matthew chapter 16, we're going to begin reading in verse number 13. Matthew 16, chapter 16, begin reading in verse 13. And when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some say Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee, that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, I thank you this morning for the Word of God, the King James Bible. I thank you for the men of God who were persecuted and put to death because they stood upon your Word, Father. Help us to continue to stand and never compromise upon thy Word and the things of your Word, Father. Father, this morning I pray that you take me out of my flesh, fill me with the Holy Spirit of God, anoint me from on high, Lord, to give me the power to present your words and your words alone, Father. We pray if there be a lost soul here this morning that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray this very morning that they'd fall out with sin and fall in love with the Savior, because to receive him is to receive life eternal. Father, I just praise you in advance for what you're going to do this day, and it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen and amen. The title of this morning's message is Peter, the First Pope. We're putting a question mark after that. Peter, the First Pope, question mark. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that the Apostle Peter was the first pope, and that the Roman Catholic Church is built upon Peter. Amen. And I know these teachings for a fact because before I was born again, I was raised a Roman Catholic. Amen. Until 8 years ago, when I became born again, saved, and I began reading the scriptures for myself and seeing that the teachings of the Roman Catholic Church were false. Amen. But we want to look at this morning. They claim, the Roman Catholic Church claimed, that Peter is the rock that Jesus mentioned in verse 18 of our message. We see it says, "And I say also unto thee," Jesus is speaking, "that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." This morning we want to ask the question, was Peter the first pope? Was Peter the first pope? And then we want to see, what does the Word of God, the Bible, say about the papacy? The papacy. What we want to use as our guide to answer our questions is not the traditions of men, not the commandments of men, but the Word of God, the authorized version, 1611 King James Bible, which is the final authority, or should be the final authority, for all that call themselves Bible believers. Amen. Now, the Word of God is referred to as, or is described as, different things. The Word of God is called truth. Truth. Jesus, in his prayer to the Father for his disciples, the disciples' prayer, amen. A lot of people say that the Lord's Prayer is, you know, found over there in Matthew chapter 6, you know, "Our Father who art in heaven." But the real prayer, the Lord's Prayer, is found over in John 17, where he's praying for the disciples. And Jesus, in his prayer to the Father for his disciples, and he's praying for you and I, by the way, he says, Jesus says in John 17:17, he says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. thy word is truth. So Jesus is telling us the word of God is truth. Jesus said also in the Gospel of John in chapter 8 and verses 31 to 32, Jesus said, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Amen. I praise God that 8 years ago, like I said, that I was freed by the word of God, the truth. Amen. The psalmist referred to the word of God as a lamp and a light. In Psalm 119, verse 105, the psalmist says, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. In Psalm 119, verse 30, the psalmist says, the entrance of thy words giveth light. The apostle James, in his epistle, in James chapter 1 and verse 25, refers to the word of God as a mirror. He says, whoso looketh into the perfect law, liberty. Whoso looketh into the perfect law, liberty. So he referred to the word of God as a mirror and told us to look into it, amen, to see what you and I stack up against it, amen. This morning, we want to take the word of God, God's truth, God's lamp, God's light, God's mirror, amen, and see what it has to say about the Roman Catholic Church's teaching on the papacy, and in particular, Peter as the first pope. All right, let's begin. Number one, let's look in our passage this morning in Matthew 16. In Matthew 16, we read down in verse 16, it says, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art Christ, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. Okay. Roman Catholic Church teaches that Peter is the rock referred to in verse 18. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that the Roman Catholic Church is built upon Peter, the rock. However, it's interesting that Jesus tells us that Peter is not a rock, but a stone. But a stone. Turn with me, if you would. And we don't have to go into the Greek or the Hebrew to find this out, praise God. We just have to look at the Authorized Version 1611 King James Bible to find out that Peter is not a rock, but a stone. Amen. Turn with me to the Gospel of John this morning, if you would. The Gospel of John, chapter 1. Looking in verses, beginning in verse 40. John, the Gospel of John, verse 40. It says, one of the two which heard John speak, followed him with Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. And he findeth his own brother Simon, and saith unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is being interpreted the Christ. And he brought him, okay, we see Andrew bringing Simon to Jesus, Simon Peter to Jesus. And when Jesus beheld him, he said, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas, which is by interpretation a stone. So we see then that Jesus gives Simon Peter another name, Cephas, and he gives us the interpretation right in the King James Bible. He says, which is by interpretation a stone. And all through the Bible, Jesus Christ now is referred to as the rock. He's also referred to as the chief cornerstone which the builders rejected. He's also referred to as the foundation on which you and I are to build upon. Amen. Moses writes in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 32 and verse 31, Moses writes this, for their rock, the rock has a small r, a lowercase r, is not as our rock. That rock, our rock, has a capital R or an uppercase R, as it appears in the King James Bible. So he says, Moses says, for their rock, referring to the world or to all those people who were in the promised land that Israelites were to drive out, is not as our rock, capital R. And that rock that Moses was referring to was none other than Jehovah God, amen, praise God, but that Jesus claimed to be the Jehovah God, amen. So even Moses spoke about the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Then we see that Paul the Apostle tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. He says, for other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He's the foundation. He's the rock. He's the rock that you should be building your foundation upon this morning. Also, we want to turn with me, if you would, to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Paul tells us some other things. Paul tells us some other things. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, begin reading in verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink. Now here it comes. For they drank of the spiritual rock, capital R, that followed them, and that rock, capital R, was Christ. Paul says that rock was Christ. That rock that Moses was speaking about was Christ. Amen. Turn with me also to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 22. Paul says, and hath put all things under his feet, talking about the Father putting all things under the feet of the Son, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, and the fullness of him that filleth all in all. It's telling us here, Paul is saying, the church is Christ's body. Amen. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 with me. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 22, Paul says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is a savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. So we see that Christ is the head of the church. Christ is the rock. The body of Christ is the church. One more place. Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 24. Paul writes, Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. So we see these verses, Ephesians 1, 22 to 20, Ephesians chapter 1, verses 22 to 23, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 24, Colossians chapter 1, verse 24, the Bible tells us to compare Scripture with Scripture, amen. We haven't found just one isolated verse like the heretics do with the cults. The Bible clearly tells us that Jesus Christ is the rock, he's the foundation, he's the church, is the body of Christ, he is the church, he is the head of the church, and not Peter. The church was founded upon the Lord Jesus Christ and not Peter. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says, looking unto Jesus, not Peter, he says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, praise God. The rock Jesus was referring to in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18, was himself and not Peter. Notice what the Word of God says in Matthew 16. Let's turn back there. Matthew chapter 16 in verses 21 to 23. It says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and the scribes, and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him. Here's Peter, supposedly the first pope, rebuking the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. Now look it, listen in verse 23. But he turned, he being Jesus, and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Can you imagine what a great way for a pope to ask? I praise the Lord that the church is built upon the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine teaching the church is built upon a man who allowed Satan to control him and be an offense unto Jesus. That's what Jesus said, get thee behind me, Satan. Peter was being controlled at that time by Satan. Jesus says, thou art an offense unto me. What a great testimony for the first pope. What a great testimony for the first pope. So we see then, number one, the Bible, the Word of God, teaches that Jesus Christ, number one, is the rock referred to in Matthew 6, chapter 16, verse 18. And number two, the church is not built upon Peter, but upon the Lord Jesus Christ. The church is his body, the body of Christ. Number two, we want to see that the Roman Catholic Church forbids its clergy from marrying. It forbids its clergy from marrying. This is very interesting in light of the fact that the Bible shows and teaches that Peter, who was supposed to be the first pope, was a married man. Was a married man. Matthew, in the Gospel of Matthew, in chapter 8, verses 14 and 15, wrote this. And when Jesus was coming to Peter's house, he saw his, meaning Peter's, wife's mother laid sick of the fever, and he touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she arose and ministered unto him. So Matthew tells us that Peter was married. He had a mother-in-law who was sick, and Jesus healed her. Not only Matthew wrote this, but we see also Mark in the Gospel of Mark, in verses chapter 1 and verses 19 to 21, 31. We see that Simon's wife's mother, the same thing is mentioned in Matthew, is mentioned in Mark, and he says Simon's wife's mother. So we see that Simon Peter, the Apostle Peter, was a married man. He had a mother-in-law. Not only Mark tells us this, but also Luke. In the Gospel of Luke, it recounts the same account that we read in Matthew. It says in Luke chapter 4 and verses 38 to 39, again, it refers to Simon's wife's mother. Amen. So we see that not only Matthew, Mark, but also Luke tells us that Simon Peter, the Apostle Peter, was a married man. Amen. Now look at also with me the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul gets on this too. He says over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 5, Paul wrote this. Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Now we know that Cephas is a name that Jesus gave Peter back there in John chapter 1 and verse 42. So what Paul is saying, it's okay to have a wife like Peter. In fact, the other apostles had wives. So the evidence is overwhelming that Peter was married, therefore disqualifying himself as a pope, and for that matter, the Roman Catholic Church ministry. Amen. Over and over again, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and Paul all verify that Peter was a married man. Okay. Now, as we move on, point number three, we want to see one of the titles given to the Pope by the Roman Catholic Church is the Most Holy Father. But nowhere in the Scriptures, if we look from Genesis all the way to Revelations, nowhere in the Scripture is Peter ever called this or ever addressed as such. In fact, Jesus forbade the calling of anyone in a religious sense Father. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23. Jesus is speaking in Matthew chapter 23 in verse number 9. Jesus says, and call no man your father upon the earth, for one is your father which is in heaven. Amen. So the calling of the Pope, Most Holy Father, the calling of these priests, Father is wrong. Amen. They're not fathers. There's only one Father in a religious sense, and that's our Heavenly Father that sits in heaven. Amen. Praise God for Him. So we see then that the Roman Catholic Church teaches, calls its Pope the Most Holy Father, and that Jesus said not forbade His disciple. He forbade us from calling anyone in a religious sense Father, right? Although He didn't forbade us. This was in a religious sense. We can call our earthly fathers, amen. You know, fathers and mothers, amen. That's okay. Praise God. But he said in a religious sense, we're to call no man father, amen. That's why I'm not called a father, amen. I'm called a pastor. I'm called a bishop. I'm called an elder. These are all scriptural names, amen. Praise God. All righty. So we see then that not only was the first pope a married man, amen, disqualifying himself, we saw that Peter was not the rock, The church is not founded upon him, but Jesus is the rock, and the church is the body of Christ and founded upon Christ. Amen. And we also see that Jesus forbades anyone from being called Father. Now, the other thing we want to see, you know, when the Pope goes around the world, he gets a lot of news coverage. Amen. You know, when I travel, I don't get coverage. Praise God. I praise God for that. But the Pope, wherever he goes, he gets a lot of news coverage and radio and TV and the satellites and all this other good stuff. And, you know, it's beamed on TV and so forth and so on. But what's interesting, as you see the Pope going through the crowd, if he's walking, or even when people go to the Vatican and they have an audience with him, you see them going up before this man and they bow down before him, amen, and they'll kiss his hand or they'll kiss his, you know, his ring, or they'll kiss his feet or something else. However, the scripture shows us that Peter, the apostle Peter, who the Roman Catholic Church claims as the first pope, rejected worship from man. He rejected worship. We remember, let's turn with me, if you would, over to Acts chapter 10. Now, over in Acts chapter 10, we remember the account how Peter was sent to Cornelius. Cornelius, you remember, was a centurion. He was a very devout man. He prayed, he fasted, he gave alms to the poor, and so forth. He had a great reputation, a good report with the Jews, and so forth and so on and so forth. And he thought he was right with God. He wanted to be right with God. Amen. But we see that Cornelius still was not a saved man, because God had to send Peter to Cornelius to tell him what thou oughtest to do. Amen. He needed to hear the gospel. That's what Cornelius needed to be saved. He needed to hear the gospel. So anyways, here's the scene in Acts chapter 10 and verse 25. And it says, as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. Aha! We see? Yes, he's the Pope. No, let's read the next verse. What did Peter do? But Peter took him up, Cornelius, saying, stand up. I myself also am a man. See that? But when you see the Pope, he doesn't tell anybody to get up. He takes the worship like he's God. You know, he's called the vicar of Christ, the Christ substitute on this earth. He allows people to bow down and worship him and kiss his rings and kiss his feet and kiss his hand and kiss his robes and kiss his slippers and kiss everything else on him. Amen. But here we see Peter refusing worship. Here we see a human being, a man, coming to Peter, falling down, amen, falling down at his feet and worshiped him, it says. And worshiped him. But Peter took him up and said, get up. I'm only a man. I'm just flesh and blood like you are. Amen. I'm a dirty, rotten sinner, Cornelius, just like you are. Amen. What a travesty. What a travesty to teach that a man should allow worship. What a travesty for a man. What an abomination to God for another man to allow other human beings to worship him. Amen. We see Peter, supposedly the first pope, rejected worship of man. Amen. There's only one way to worship. Jesus told the devil, the Lord God. He's the only one we should worship and serve. So we see then, even though the pope allows people to worship him, we see Peter, who the Roman Catholic Church teaches or claims as the first pope, rejects worship. Amen. I praise God for that. I praise God for that example. So what we're seeing then is all of these, this thing about the pope and the papacy, is all of these things are man-made tradition. They're man-made tradition. They're not from the Word of God. As we continue, the evidence just keeps building. Amen. Keeps building against setting someone up as a pope. Amen. If you've been a Catholic for any period of time, and even if you haven't been a Catholic, but you know, another title for the Pope is the Bishop of Rome. He's called the Bishop of Rome. However, it's very interesting. The man that the Roman Catholic Church claims to be the first Pope, which is Peter, as far as we can tell, searching the scriptures was never in Rome. Paul the Apostle wrote an epistle or a letter to the church at Rome. And what is interesting through that entire epistle is Peter, the bishop, the so-called bishop of Rome, is never mentioned. Turn with me to chapter 16. Romans 16. Turn there if you would with me. As we're going to read down Romans chapter 16, and you're going to see that Paul sends his personal greetings to the church of Rome, and he mentions specific individuals by name. He starts off and he says in Romans 16, verse 1, I commend unto you Phoebe, our sister, which is a servant of the church, which is at Centura. And then he says, that you receive her in the Lord as becometh saints, that you assist her in whatsoever business she hath need of, for she hath been a succorer of many and of myself also. And then he says in verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my helpers in Christ Jesus. Verse 5, likewise greet the church that is in their house. Salute my well-beloved Epaphras, who is the first fruits of Achaia unto Christ. Greet Mary in verse 6, who bestowed much labor on us. Salute in verse 7, Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen, my fellow prisoners who are of the note among the apostles who also were in Christ before me. He says, greet Ampelius, my beloved in the Lord. Salute Urbane and our helper in Christ, Daches, my beloved. Salute Apelles, approved in Christ. Salute them which are the Astrobulus household. Salute Herodion, my kinsman. Greet them that be of the household of Narcissus, which is in the Lord. Salute Tryphenia and Trophsia, who labor in the Lord. The beloved Persis, who labored much in the Lord. Salute Rufus, chosen in the Lord, and his mother and mine. And the list goes on and on and on and on and on. But you know what? I don't see Peter mentioned, the Bishop of Rome. You think that he would have been first on the list. You would have thinking he would have said, something great. I greet my beloved brother in the Lord Jesus Christ, Peter the Pope, the Archbishop or the Bishop of Rome. Amen. He's a great man of God, amen, that helped carry the gospel with me and so forth and so on. But we read down through there, amen. We read down through there, amen. And there's nowhere mentioned Peter, you know. And he goes on in verse 21, Timotheus, my work fellow, and Lucius and Jason and Sophater, my kinsmen, salute you. And so forth and so on. But what's interesting, you would have thought, if Peter was the Bishop of Rome, and he should be in Rome to be the Bishop of Rome, amen, to be sitting up there, that Paul would have mentioned him by name, but he's not mentioned. And as you search the scriptures, the so-called Bishop of Rome, the first Bishop of Rome, the first Pope, was never in Rome, amen. So we see there's no accidents with God. Peter was never in Rome. Now, another interesting thing, the Roman Catholic Church teaches good works are necessary for salvation. They teach baptism, which is the sprinkling of infants from so-called original sin from Adam and Eve, and church membership, and that church membership is in the only true church, the Roman Catholic Church, and the sacraments are all necessary for salvation. I know, because I was under that system. I was a Catholic at one time. I was sprinkled as an infant. I was had my first Holy Communion. I was confirmed and so forth and so on. But on top of all of this, the average Catholic believer, if you were to ask them today, cannot be assured that if they were to die, they were going to hell, but most likely that they would end up in an intermediary place of torment called purgatory, which is not scriptural. There is no purgatory in the Bible. In fact, the Bible tells us over there, Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 9 in verse 27, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment." Okay, there's no interview. It's either heaven or hell. And so most Catholics believe that they'll end up in this intermediary place of torment, purgatory. And the only way that they'll get out of there is if prayers and masses are said by the priests, will get them out of there, to get them from purgatory into heaven. Amen. Of course, these prayers and these masses will cost your family some money. But what I find interesting is, what I want to see is what the so-called first pope, Peter, had to say about being saved and going to heaven. Let's turn with me to Acts chapter 15. There arose among the apostles, you know, some division, and some people were teaching that, you know, there were different ways to be saved. So all the elders of the church and the apostles met at Jerusalem to discuss the matter, to finally to nail it down and to show you how people would be saved, to come up with the doctrine of the church. Over there in Acts chapter 15 and verse 5, look at what it says. "But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing," now listen now, Peter rose up, and he said unto them, "Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among you, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe." And now he's referring to the Gentiles. Cornelius was a Gentile. He preached the death, the burial, and the resurrection to Cornelius, and Cornelius gets saved. And then he says in verse 8, "And God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us." So what Peter is saying, that the Gentiles, amen, were saved through the gospel, and they were also received the Holy Ghost, just as the Jews did. "And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith." Now listen up. "Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear?" Now listen in verse 11. This is what Peter is saying, this. "But we believe that through water baptism, the sacraments, the sprinkling of infants, the joining of the Roman Catholic Church, we shall be saved even as they." No, this is what Peter said. "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they." Fini. That's the word. That's the doctrine of the true church. Okay? "But we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they." Peter is saying you're not saved by water baptism, the sprinkling of infants or immersions. You're not saved by joining the Roman Catholic Church, amen, or any other church for that matter. You're not saved by doing the sacraments. You're not saved by good works. You're not saved by any other way. The only way you're saved is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. The Bible tells us that you and I are saved by grace alone, by faith alone, in Christ alone, amen. You know, it's interesting then, the first Pope Peter, his teaching is contrary to the Roman Catholic doctrine. And if Peter was the first pope, then he would have been excommunicated and called a heretic by the Roman Catholic Church and probably burned at the stake, amen. You know, as church history teaches, Peter was crucified upside down for his faith in Christ. Other things to consider. Peter denied Christ 3 times, amen. What a great testimony for a pope. Peter along with James and John, they were with Jesus Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. They fell asleep. Jesus said to Peter when he found him asleep, "What could you not watch with me 1 hour?" You would expect a pope would be a great man of prayer and would not fall asleep during a prayer meeting, amen. Other things to consider. Nowhere is the pope mentioned, the word pope, in the Bible. Nowhere is the name Pope mentioned in the Bible. So we've seen number one, we started out in Matthew. We've seen that the Bible teaches that Jesus Christ is the rock, that Peter, Cephas is the stone, that the church was not built upon Peter, was built upon the only foundation that you and I can lay upon, and that's Jesus Christ, the rock. The church is Christ. The church is the body of Christ that he bought, that he purchased with his shed blood. Amen. We see that the Roman Catholic Church forbids its clergy, its priests, its popes, so forth and so on to marry. And we're told by Matthew, Mark, Luke, and the Apostle Paul that Peter was a married man. Amen. We saw also that the title Pope, Most Holy Father, that Jesus forbade calling anyone in a religious sense father on this earth. We saw that the Pope allows people to worship him. We see that Peter, the Apostle Peter, rejected worship from a man, Cornelius. When he came down, he fell at his feet and came and worshiped him. He told him to get up. I'm a man just like you and I, just like you, Cornelius. And then we see the title, the Bishop of Rome, which is another title given to the Pope. In other words, and we saw that nowhere there is ever any evidence in the scriptures that Paul was ever in Rome, and what a place he was vacant. If he was to be the bishop of Rome, he should have been in Rome. Paul writes a letter or an epistle to the Romans. Nevertheless, is Peter mentioned once, amen, but Peter mentioned, Paul mentions personally, specifically, personal greetings to specific individuals, but the bishop of Rome, Peter, is nowhere mentioned, amen. Then we saw that the Roman Catholic Church teaches salvation by good works, water baptism, all of these things, sacraments, given to the church, joining the Roman Catholic Church, are all things that are essential to be saved. We saw there that Peter get up in Acts chapter 15, and he said, we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved, even as they. That Peter preached that we're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, amen. Conclusion. What does the evidence show? Amen. The Word of God shows that Peter was not the first pope. In fact, God does not authorize or condone the establishment of a papacy. The Word of God tells us we are to worship only God and Him alone. The Word of God shows that the papacy is an abomination to Him. He hates religious hierarchy. He hates when clergy set themselves up as lords over the people, the common man, amen, and that they have to come to him instead of the Word of God for their final authority. Look at what Jesus said over there in Revelations chapter 2. Revelations chapter 2, as he said to that church of Ephesus in Revelations chapter 2 and verse 6, but this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. And the deeds of the Nicolaitans is that church, that clergy that set up as lords over the common man to lord it over them instead of being an example to the flock, amen. An example to the flock, amen. God hates that. God hates the deeds of the Nicolaitans. God hates the clergy that's over man, that has to say to man, you need to come to me. Don't read the Bible. You can't understand it. You're too stupid to understand it. You need me and not the Word of God as your final authority. Amen. The Word of God tells you and I this morning that we have one mediator between God and men, and that's the man, Christ Jesus. We have to confess our sins not to another human being, but to God through the Son. We have a great promise this morning that the Apostle John wrote in his first epistle in chapter 1 and verse 9. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Jesus Christ is our rock. He's our high priest. He's the only way through the Father. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Amen. We have redemption through his blood and even the forgiveness of sins, Colossians 1:14. Let me ask you this morning, if you're watching at home, who are you trusting in to save you? The stone, Cephas, Simon Peter, or the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ? If you're placing your hope in the Pope this morning, then all I have to say is you're a dope. Titus tells us where you and I are to place our hope in. He says in Titus chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, he says, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquities and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. The blessed hope, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. Who are you trusting in to save you? It should be the rock, the Lord Jesus Christ. Won't you call upon his name? Won't you call upon his name? The Bible tells us, for we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. The Bible tells us that we're all sinners. And as a result of our sins, the Bible tells us, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You don't have to die and go to hell, because the Bible says, but God commended his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says, for if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Won't you be saved today? Christian, today, we have the evidence that we can bring to our people that are Roman Catholics that may be unsaved about the Pope. We have the evidence. Help us to present it in love and truth so that they can know for sure. If they were to die, they could go to heaven. Not based upon the Pope or hope in the Pope, but hope in the blessed hope. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, I thank you again for the Word of God. I thank you for the evidence that you've shown us this morning, very clear out of your Word. That Peter, number one, was not the first Pope, and there should not be anything as a papacy on, Father, that's an abomination to you. Father, we pray that you'd bless the message. We pray we present this in love and not out of hardness or hatred in any way. We present the truth. Sanctify them by thy truth. Thy word is truth. The word of God is truth. We pray that the truth would open the eyes to many this morning. Father, now as we come to our time of invitation, as always, we pray that you'd have your will in your way. We pray that be people at home. We pray and ask Jesus to save them this very day. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Alrighty, kindly stand if you would for our time of invitation. Kindly stand and turn in your hymnals this morning to hymn 394. I believe it is 394. 394, I surrender all. 394, I surrender all. As we sing out on verse number one, won't you come this morning? If you're home, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, ask him to save you today. If you're a Christian at home, get down on your knees. Maybe you haven't been serving God like you should be. Confess. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive us from all sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Amen. Won't you do it this morning?